So one has left it to the Guru, there is no fear of anything. This one is the Guru. And Guru is world made flesh, and world is eternal. God is spirit, and we are spirited man. First of all, we are the two temple of God. The other one is, as spirit is eternal, why should we fear we should die? So you become one with the world made flesh. No fear of death. From then on, there is no birth, no death, no more coming and going in creation. No negative power, for one is down into the very nectar of life, one is plunging in it. Anyone who has done this has no fear of death. I'll explain you, these things have been explained in the scriptures by giving example. So one painter of one country went over to another country. He went to the king of that place and told him, we know the art of painting very wonderful. Would you give us a chance to show you? He said, all right. He lighted one hall of the big hall, or right, you go on painting your what you want to show. The painter of that very country came up to the king, well, we also know this painting. Will you also permit us for competition? Say, all right. So a curtain was placed in the hall, so that one may not see what other is doing. Naturally, when the thing is done for competition, nobody will let anybody know. So the painter of the other country who was there, they did everything, every day something. And king was visiting that place, yeah, they are doing something. But the painters of his own country, he did not see anything was doing on the other one. When that painting was ready, they invited the king, you may kindly come and see. We have our art is ready now. He came and he saw, wonderful. The other painter said, will you kindly visit us? He was fully convinced, they have done nothing, what will they show me? The curtain was taken off. To the amazement of the king, those very paintings were on the other wall. And there are some blemishes in the hand painting. That blemishes were also not in the other world. So what have you done? They said, we have done nothing. After all, then we have been rubbing the wall so that could reflect. If a disciple rubs all thoughts, all impressions from his mind, except the Guru, he becomes saint. That's the simplest way to have the divine access, divine strength. So I'll just relate to you some from the master's sayings. They got in the scripture. I've given you some quotations out of that. Just simply to let you know what is what. There's Guru Ramdas. I'll quote you that part. He says, I prayed God, O God, meet us with such a master, who is a paras. Paras is a stone. If you touch him with some metal, that becomes gold. So meet us such a master, by coming in contact with which we become gold, valuable. Then what he said, he said, my prayer was heard. God made us come in contact with such a Guru. He said, I was not even metal, I was simply rust. He made me not gold, but He made me the paras itself. You got this in the sayings of the Master. Telling what? Telling I wanted nothing except God, our Guru. And worldly people, what do you say? We want a Guru what for? So that may get redemption, higher heavens to enjoy. pleasures of this world or the other world. Generally people are like that who go to the Guru, to the Master. He says, I am nothing like that. I am the sole ruling passion to know God. I wanted someone to be to make me valuable life. Because he not made me valuable life, but he made me it. That stone which turns all others to gold. So can such men who got the ruling passion of seeing God, they don't want even salvation. They simply want to have a beatific vision of Him, that's all. Once it is so sad, Lord Krishna went away, far away from the gopis, and they were just yearning, burning in separation, crying, and Lord Krishna sent His servant Udo, go and tell them, well, why are they crying? God is within them. He did go, He gave some very good sermon, God is within you. The word Krishna comes from the root Kiri. Kiri means nearest to God, nearest to the soul. He is with you, why are you crying all these things? And they said, look here, you know, what you say is all right. But I, we are trying to have a beautiful vision of me. Lord Krishna, what is the remedy with you? Is there any remedy for that? What you say is all right. But our eyes are not satisfied unless we have a glimpse of the world. So this is, you see, we are all under delusion. We are conscious entities. We are living in this man body. But we are so much identified with the body through mind and outgoing faculties that we have forgotten ourselves. Body is made of matter. This is changing every moment of life. And the world around us is also changing, being made of matter at the same speed as your body is changing. So as we are identified with the body and two things are moving and changing at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. Is it not grand delusion? And God is love. Love is innate in our souls. That requires just to be attached to something. Because we are not seeing God, nothing that is attached to the world outside. So, under a delusion and then with attachment outside, how can we dare to know God? Every time impressions are coming through the outgoing faculty. So they, those who are lovers of God, now compare yourself, ourselves, who are lovers of God, they don't want anything else except the beautiful vision of God. That's all. They don't want this world or the other world, salvation or anything. No. Now, there is a big gathering here. If you are in love with somebody, your heart goes to him. Your mind is marrying with nobody except with him. So such a person who has got ruling passion for God, they appear to be in the world, but they are not of the world. They are about the true renunciation. One worldly man came to his sadhu. He told him, you are a great, you are renunciation. You made a great renunciation of the world all over. And this sadhu told him, dear friend, you are even bigger, greater, whoever. Man, as compared with me, because you have renounced God for the sake of the world. And we have renounced the world for the sake of God. Who is the greater renunciator? So such men, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. Their boat is in the water, but water is not in the boat. Those who come in contact with the God into expression power, which is called Naam or word, when our soul is attached like that, dread like anything, then the outer things do not affect him. So he gives an example that this tree, you see, it's called Chandan, which gives very good perfume which they grind and then put stillness on the hand. And generally it is seen that those such trees are encircled with these poisonous flies to get food sense. Because they're burning, he is seen poison. He says the whole tree, the world is a tree of God. It's all manifestation of his God. And the delusion which we have, that is the poisonous snake encircling the whole universe. If you want to take the sap of the tree, what will you do? First you will kill the snake and then have it. So if a master meets you, he drags you out of the delusion. He is God. So he says, when such like master meet us, what happens? There are heaps of firewood. You put in little fire to it, all are burnt away to ashes. You have got unlimited, what you say, all sins of the past lives. If you but take little of the light within from the sadhu, whose word made flies, they will burn away all. Because your ego is lost. So long as you are the doer, so shall you reap. If you see the light of God, that is a burn away all, because you become conscious, co-worker of the divine plan, all ego is lost. Who will be there to bear the, reap the fruit of what he has sown? So, say, such like person, if you come in within the radiation, such like persons, you will begin to see God. Because their body is charged. Your body charged with electricity, that you may come here to it, you feel affected. If a man be smeared with perfume, if you near go by, you will have perfume or not? If he touches clothes, your clothes are perfumed. In whom the God is manifest, and that radiation is going on all around, naturally you come sit at their feet. They become receptive. They become the same what they are. So for that he said, don't have the company of those who are not, in whom God is not manifested. You'll be affected. Just like a scorpion when it bites, you have very terrified later on, and at the time you only feel little pinch. Similarly, if you come across anyone who are not devoted to God, you will have the color of the world, avoid all such company. So he says, within us, true society is of the saints, in whom God is manifest. When you come in contact with the one who is reverberating that begins to reverberate within you. You go to a scent seller. You get the perfume without any payment. But if he gives you fire, scent then. So when you meet such a master, he gives you initiation with all your attention from outside. It gives you contact with the light and sound principle within you, however little or more it may be. That depends on the each man's background, of course. So such like the society of the masters, you see. What he does? He says, as Quran says, God says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you seek me? And Guru Arjuna also says, the treasure of divinity within you, in the Japa you will find. Take the word of the master. So master is one who gives you a capital to start with, not leave you to go on, you will have it in due course. Of course we are thankful to everybody, at least if we learn something. But it is the definition of a true master. You see? He will be able to give you something to start with. If such like men we do find somewhere, then what we should do He says, just sit at his feet for long. Don't leave his feet. So Guru Ram Das says further, what you should do, he says, I want to be the servants, slaves of the servants of God, in whom he is manifest. Tell for how long you will like to be continuing this society, he says, until my last breath of blood goes out. He says, I want to die at the feet of such a master till death. Not to leave till before. He says, why are you asking for this? Among the six scriptures you find with daily prayer we have got. Meet such a man with the mouthpiece of the Guru Mukh, who is a sadhu, who is imbued with the Nam power, Nam Nectar. At night, before going to sleep, O God, let us sit at the feet of the dust of the feet of the saints. That's a very great prayer, highest prayer. He says, why you ask for this prayer? He says, because the most wise man, Shankar-like, they pray for it. But he said, it is all God, soul and God is no different thing. Then he gave little difference. Then he became the worshipper of incarnation. Narada is considered to be the eyes of all bhakta. He prays for that. Vishishta and Narada, Vishishta and Vishwamitra, there are two very great. Vishwamitra was a great. He put in 60,000 long years in penances. And Vishishta was always putting before the people that the satsang, company of the saints in which God is benefit, that is more helpful, more precious. Now who could decide for the sake of people understanding? They gave to the Brahma, they came to the Vishnu, they came to the Shiva, told them, well, please tell us which is higher. Penances are the contact with the saints. He said, the both are very strong people. I don't think they will agree that they went to the, you say, Sheshnag, who had the whole burden of the earth is lying. I asked him, well, dear son, take off this burden. Only then I will decide what to say. Then Bishop told Vishwamitra, all right, now apply your soul for all purposes that you got. Then he put in 20 years, 20,000 years, 40,000 years, nothing happened, so he put in 50,000 years penances. The earth little moved from the head, again sat down on the head. And he said, well, please decide, so what should I decide? Again the burden of the earth is over my head. Of course it little risen above, of course. Now came the turn of Vishisht, who was always speaking highly about satsang. Satsang means, you see, content with God, who is eternal. And until then, meet such as a soul, Guru, which is God, in whom that word is made flesh. He said, all right, I give only little, say, as our soul, whatever, pass in the company of the saints. And the earth rose above his head, right? He said, decide, it is already decided. So Guru Ram Das said, that is why I am asking this prayer. And furthermore, when he says, I find wherever such masters lived, they became the places of pilgrimage. Christ lived at Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the place of pilgrimage of all Christianity, is it not? Prophet Muhammad lived at Makkah. Makkah is the place of pilgrimage of all the Mohammedans all the world over. Buddha was invited. Buddha tree is in India. That's the place of India of all the Buddhas. Guru Nanak, where he was born, that was called Nankana Sahib. When he sat under a tree, soul tree, that became feet, that becomes that one. Later Sahib. When he sat with some Malikadhari, that was the Pajasa. all other places of worship, Samastri, Rishi, and other things, wherever there's some person like that, that is the place of worship. Now Kabir says, oh God, then I'm in a great dilemma. Who is greater? The word made flesh or the place at which he lives? Which is greater? One word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the places of worship. Decidedly, the one is greater, one who is made flesh. He says, what does he give? What we should do? You can leave all pride of your kingship, or your erudition, or your possession. Leave all and sit at the feet of Satyamar. It so happened, you see, Ravidas was a great saint, at whose feet Mirabai sat. What? Any red signal?
Just about.
Huh?
Just about, yes, sir.
I started 15 minutes late.
Excuse me.
Now, just to make the whole thing short, you see. So, King of Pipa King, in his jurisdiction, Ravidas lived. So, all were going, he said, I'm a king, how can I go to a cobbler? He's afraid of that, he would not go. But one day Kunda remained, he went to his feet, it was evening time, he was washing his skin. Well, Master, I have come to you. All right, you'll have the nectar. He was afraid of that, that what was the skin which was skin but he washed. He was very much, he could not say anything, but he did not drink the water and that drank his shirt. Ran away. Oh God, I'm saved today. I was going to you. Like anything. He came over and called his washerman. Well, go wash it all at once. There was some blood on the skin over there. He gave it to his daughter. He sucked that skin. And that was why. That certainly had the charge it. That daughter of the washerman became a saint. Everybody running, he's a saint, she's a saint. One day, he thought, my master's man's daughter is a great soul. I should go and pay him a visit, her visit. He went over there, and his daughter stood with a folded hand. He said, daughter, I have not come to you as a daughter, but I have come, you are a saint. Then I have also not put up paying obeisance to you, because what I have got, it is your grace only. That was the charge that the Ravidas gave him. This is what I want to bring home. What is the effect of the charging of a radiation of a saint? You will change. Whatever goes into the, I mean, short mind, everything becomes short. So for that he says, what he gives? We are businessmen. If you go, what will he give? He says, you will rise your soul from all outside, from body below, due to your contact with God, by knowing which all your accounts of sins will be washed away. This he gives. He says, then what to do? Well, please don't wait. Do the earliest possible moment, go sit at the feet of Satyamasa, so that your life may be insured. When this insurance business started quite early, one man came to me, have your life insured? I told him, well, you have come, I have got my life also insured at the feet of my pastor. You have come only to insure my death, because if I die within 10 years, then I have got the full money. So such like master come from time to time. What they have got with them, they give the contact with God, which is like in some principle. That's the music of the Akhand Kirtan going on, not outer, that beyond the matter. And that is the water of life, that's the bread of life, that is called the Adiyayat. This is within each man. Master, come to raise your soul up and give the contract. So what do they say? When they come with their arms like, come on please, those who want to have the permanent peace with God, come on, God will come to you. So these things I am putting before you, devotion to the Master and what the Master gives. Without devotion to the Master, you cannot take a step further. And this devotion to the Master is the basic teaching of all Master Supreme Jiva. Those who start on the way, they say, we do not hear, we less like this. And this is all due today because we have no devotion for the Master. One third of teaching is given by the word of mouth, and two thirds by receptivity that you do. Some people come with all puffed up with their aggression and knowledge, we know better. They lose. You must become receptive if you want to have the full benefit of meeting a Master. And first benefit is what? You know how to rise above body consciousness. You know when you rise daily above body consciousness and no fear of death? There's no escape from death. How can you conquer it? You know how to die daily? St. Paul said, I die daily. So these continuous three talks, they gave you subject by subject. This is art without which we cannot progress further. This is the one thing I am bringing to your notice. If we become, we are, what you say, grafted into the Guru, you cannot have hold. If you are grafted into the Guru, the whole thing of the Guru comes in you, as the reflection of the painter I told you. So please remain where you are. Master come not to touch the outer forms and rituals and the labels, to break one and start new. Or Master used to say, somebody told him, well, why don't you start a new religion? He says, wells are already dug. Water is everywhere. Why should they dig a new well? Basic teachings of all the Masters have been saying, whose scriptures are with us today, of all Masters who came in the path of today. We need now someone who can give a contact with that. And for that, true living is required. And receptive. So mind that you have got full devotion for the Master. You need no questions. You will go on like that, learning from day to day. Here it is where we need. We are wanting. So this is the third talk I gave you. In a continuative way, what I came to know at the feet of my Master, Baba Sam Singh, and by parallel study of scriptures, I played before him. As an average of level of every man, quoting from all scriptures. This is where we are wanting. If you want to derive the full benefit of the man body, sit at the table. The only party, and be your, have your life insured. Let's not. Don't wait that you'll have it in due course, or after that, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. They don't come to break, but to fulfill. Remain your first time you have taken all right. Man, a social being, must have some social body to live in. But to know God is the highest religion and true living. So thank you for your patient hearing. You gave last two talks today. What I have come to know, I have placed before you. It is for you to see how far you have been benefited by it and how far you can be benefited by it. Thank you all. Tomorrow perhaps I will leave. So thank you all for your patient hearing. I think I am more fortunate than all of you because I have seen so many faces before me. You are less fortunate because you have seen only once. So thank you all. Cut off from all outside. God is all alone. He wants everybody to come all alone. Not to take your body with you. God bless you all.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was from the evening talk on November the 18th, 1972, at the Santa Clara University in San Jose, California. Our reader this morning is Rudy Cascone. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, today's talk is from The Light of Kirpal, Chapter 63, Absorb Your Attention, February 24th, 1971, a morning darshan in Rajpur. And Master has welcomed the dear ones from aboard and then asked, any questions, please? All sitting mute and dumb won't do. Come up. Master, she sees only clouds without light behind, gray behind. Master, just look into the middle, and that will grow bright. Later on, the clouds will subside. Simply look continuously without a break, and with full attention, nothing more than that. You are not to differentiate, not to discriminate, no clutching on your part to have one thing or the other. Simply continue looking, that's all. Leave your intellect for a while, then don't judge. Look continuously, that's all. When you differentiate or discriminate or you think you have got this, you have got that, that stands in the way. Continue looking continuously, without a break, intently, minutely. Everything will come all right. And when you put your intellect in there, the whole thing goes wrong. Until the outgoing faculties are controlled, mind is controlled, and intellect also is stilled, only then you will have more experience. Do you follow me? Your intellect works now. Leave it for a while. Look continuously, leaving everything aside. And when you get some sun, some light, some this, some that, you differentiate. This is not that. This is that. Leave it all. Look continuously, without a break, intently, minutely, to find out what is in there. Nothing more. Sweetly, with no intellectual wrestling going on there. Do it accurately. The more you will do it in that way, the more progress you will have. Now you get something, something less, something more. Sometimes you get more, but again intellect comes, and again further progress is retarded. Follow implicitly what you are told, leaving your whys and wherefores and intellectual attainments. Look continuously, like a child. That's all. When a child looks, his gaze is fixed continuously. When the gaze is fixed, the mind is also fixed. This has to be done regularly. Regularity, time factor, is necessary for progress. As it is now, sometimes you progress, then recede, again progress, and then recede. Diary is a necessity. Every moment you are judging what is going on, just as when a seed is put on the ground and after an hour you dig it up to see if it has sprouted forth. Later you dig it out of the earth, again you see, if it is there. Water it continuously, as I told you the other day, by regular continuous attention. And that will sprout forth. And if you dig it up to look at the seed again, cover it, and then dig it up, that spoils the seedling. Does it not? Follow implicitly without any intervention of your intellect. You know there is light. Are you sure there is light within? Have you ever seen light? Master, she's not sure. What nonsense you are talking. Who else can be sure? Follow implicitly what you are told to do. Then you will have it. Always be grateful for what you get and hope for the more. It is you who sees, not I or anybody else. Be definite and have definite things. On account of your intellectual wrestling, this and that thing, sometimes you go up and again come down. If you follow implicitly from day to day, you will have more progress. Some days you are very happy gaining. Some days there is something wrong in your mind. You are thinking of the past, future, this and that. That spoils the show. You are here only for meditation. Then you will go on all right. It is a matter of seeing. How much ability or intellectual attainment is required for that? Even a child sees. How simple it is and how difficult we have made it. Is it not so? And what is it that makes it difficult? Our intellect. Intellect is all right for understanding. I'm not altogether denouncing the intellect. It is for the purpose of understanding. And when you have understood, then do it. You may study for years to acquire understanding, but once you have understood and have seen proof for your own self that there is life, then why all this coming and going, receding and progressing? How much ability is required in seeing? Is any ability required? Is any PhD degree or scientific degree required for that? Look. See. The child sees. Is it not easy? Don't let your intellect stand in your way. Look sweetly into what comes, what is given to you. Receive. And you will see the same thing about which the scriptures have told you. You have by now received some experience of it. There's no doubt now. There's no doubt about it. You see. But I wish you to progress in days that would ordinarily take years. Put in your whole time. You are here for that purpose. Forget everything, past, future, here, there, relations, your body, even your intellect. Leave it all aside. How long does it take? You are to absorb your attention into the light or sound. That's all. It is the yoga of the attention, you see. Surachab yoga, not Gayan yoga or Hatha yoga or Bhakti yoga. It is Surachab yoga, which even a child can do. I think a child can do it even better. And that is why when children are giving a sitting, they see light. They simply see. All right, look. They look with no intellectual wrestling. And that is what is required. Intellect is a good thing. Again, I would say, it is not to be denounced altogether. But it is only for understanding. And when you have understood, then leave it. Leave it aside. Go do it. This is, I think, the biggest problem we've got. Intellectual wrestling. The man with intellectual attainments can explain the same things in so many ways. Intellectual attainments are like a garland of flowers around the neck of a practical man. But if he doesn't have any degrees, he'll explain from his own vocabulary using examples around him. Bulasa went to his guru, who was a gardener, putting saplings here and there, and asked him how to find God. Oh, very simple. Just take the saplings from here and put it there. That's all. Just as you are directing your attention from one side to the other, that's all. He explained in a very simple way what a learned man would explain in so many books. After all, we have to do the same thing. So make the best use of your intellect. I do not denounce it, but once you have understood, follow it. So feelings, emotions, and drawing inferences are all subject to error, as I told you. Seeing is above all. It is a matter of seeing. How simple it is to look sweetly. I look sweetly. Eyes speak to eyes. That darkness will be thinned. You are light. You will be absorbed in light still more. You are already light. You will become bigger light. I think you have followed. I have explained the same thing to you in so many ways. If you want regular, continuous progress from day to day, do as I tell you. Every saint has his past and every sinner his future. You are the same as I am or anybody else. The only difference lies there. The only difference between a learned man and an unlearned is that the learned man can explain to you in so many ways, quoting quotations from here and there and everywhere to bring home some evidence of what he saw. An unlearned man says, all right, take the sapling, put it there. And after all, this is to be done, is it not? It appears a little difficult in the beginning, but this way is not difficult, I tell you. The very simplest way, quite natural. Even a child can do it. When the child is absorbed, he looks holy. He forgets everything. He enjoys everything. And that is why a child can be wholly, solely there in what he sees, what he eats, whatever he does. A child is more happy than a grown-up man. Why? He is wholly, solely there what he does, in what he does. And that is why Christ said to be like little children. Suffer little children to come unto me. You follow me, what he meant there? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You will have to become a child, that's all. And we'll go to the next chapter that I'm reading from the same book, The Light of Kirpal, chapter 70, Clutching, There Must Be Some Definite Purpose. This is from February 28, 1971. Master, how do you prevent clutching in meditation? The master says, what should a beggar do who sits at the door of a donor? He should wait. It is all a gift. No compensation for anything. You have done nothing. What you get is a sheer gift. He may or not give it. It is all his grace. Sit at the door and wait. Wait and see. Clutching will be over. Clutching is businesslike. Oh, this has not come. You have not given this thing. You have not given that thing. You have no claim on that. Whatever is given is sheer grace, a gift in return for no effort on our part. It is a gift, is it not? With that understanding, clutching will be over. Very simple. Do you follow how the clutching should be overcome? You sit at the door and wait, that is all. Yours is only to sit, quite cut off from all outside, nothing else. We must learn this, Master. What learning? Is any intellectual career involved? When a donor gives, it is at his mercy. You have to come to the door, that's all. Who are those who get it? Those who come to the door. Those who do not come to the door, then, if the children, one that sits, one on that side, and then one on this side, hardly comes to the door, but are dragged outside, then I think they will be the last men to be given, is it not? Moreover, when you sit at the door, your purpose should be very clear. Why should you sit at the door? Are you after having some of these worldly things or things of the other world or what? You must be clear. If you sit at the door with any definite purpose, you will have everything, you see. You will have even the worldly things given you, those things which belong to the other world and also God himself. But you should sit at the door with a quite definite view of what you want. Do you sit at the door with that purpose in view? Then, perhaps you have heard of the name of Majnu. He was in love with one princess, Laila. The princess used to distribute alms on a certain day. One day, he also stood in the line. All had their bowls, and she put something in them. Passing on. When his turn came, she struck the bowl in his hand and broke the bowl. He was enjoying this. Oh, this is very strange. Your bowl has been broken and you are enjoying? Why? What has happened? Do you follow what it means? Not exactly, Master. Well, try to follow. There is nothing short for those who sit at or go to his door with anything they sincerely want. There you can have worldly things. You can have the things of the other world. But if you want God, he will give you. He will give you himself, too. But you must have some purpose in view. So others came to Laila wanting worldly things. Well, she gave them. When Majnu came up, he was after Laila, not worldly things. She broke the bowl, saying, well, what you want cannot come in this bowl. So sit at the door with some definite purpose. Go all alone, not dragging children, friends, gold, evil of the world. He is all alone. He wants everyone to come all alone, bringing not even your body. Don't feel the body nor the intellect. Sit at the door. How much does it cost? Is it not simple? When you go to beg at someone's door, you have some purpose in view. You may have read the book Prayer, but you have not read this stated so directly. It is there. We are simply taking a bird's eye view. Have you been simply ruminating? But I will now tell you, it is there. We are simply surface reading, you see. There is nothing short of his door, at his door. He can give everything of this world, the next world things. He can give you God. He can give you himself. When you sit with some purpose in view, your wish should be definite, clear. Sometimes we sit, but we don't know what we want. I read of one child, Whittington by name, who used to strengthen the thought of his becoming Lord Mayor of London by repeating always, "Whittington, Whittington, Lord Mayor of London." This was when he was only a child, and the day did come when he became the Lord Mayor of London. You must have something definite before you. You're adrift. Sometimes we want this thing, sometimes that thing. Sometimes you say world first and God next. Sometimes, oh no, God first and world next. This vacillation goes on, you see. So in prayer, you must be definite to whom you are talking, praying. We don't know. We must also be confident of his competency. You must be definite about what you want. With him, everything is possible. You can have everything, things of this world and things of the other world. The master usually comes for things of the other world, not this world. But he can also give these things also. So if there is any deficiency, it is within us. Your question is very good. How can you overcome clutching? All these things have been given in prayer, the book. But has it ever struck you? I'm telling you, no new thing. Read less, digest. Come to the purpose, then sit. Sometimes you want this, sometimes you want something else. Then? Well, after my educational career was over, I had ambition in life, too. I was a very voracious reader of books. I wanted big libraries, this and that thing. But I had to decide what to do. Pursue my worldly ambitions or place God first. So it took me more than a week or 10 days to decide. In the evening, after office hours, I used to go to some wilderness area to decide. I was discussing for and against with my own self until sometimes 1, sometimes 2 in the morning. I finally came to the conclusion, God first and world next. And ever since, step by step, men are advancing, you see. And if you've got some definite purpose before you, every step brings you closer to your goal. Sometimes you go 2 steps forward. Sometimes we dig 2 feet here, some 3 feet there. Then leave the hole and dig another pit again, 2, 3, 4, 5 feet. And again, we dig another pit. Water is not found in any, but if you go on digging in one place, water is underneath, you know. You will reach it. You must have something definite in view. These are things to be learned. I spoke about Whittington as a child. As a child, reading in the third primary, I used to think of America. I had to go. There must be some purpose in view, you see. You must have something definite before you. What do you want? Sometimes this, sometimes that, sometimes the other. There should be tenacity of purpose and perseverance both. And for that, a chaste life. 3 things. Definite purpose in view, then tenacity of purpose, perseverance, and chastity of life. I'm giving you the kernel of the teaching I have come to know. Whatever question you ask, I have gone through myself. You'll remember now, decide something definite purpose in view, some definite purpose. even if it's of this world. All right, do it. If you want to become a wrestler, all right, work for it. You'll become a wrestler, and all the world will know you. If you would like to make some purpose in view, work for it day and night. Go on digging there in one place, and you'll have it. After all, perfection is God, is it not? Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. And don't you have this in the Bible? And the gurus say, from the perfect man you will become perfect. But nothing will have diminished in him, you see. He is one with the perennial source. Mind, though, he will make you perfect. Is it not common sense, I'm telling you? No inferences. Talks at our satsang should be of that nature, which will awaken people, even if they are there for the first time. Everyone will get something. People are searching how to meditate, what to do, what not to do, how to get spirituality. You say there are five planes, and on the fifth plane God lives, and will go to the fifth plane. This is the way. If you repeat but never tread on the path, then there are many people who are tired of asking. We want to know this. We want to know that. But they would not practically put their feet on the path. This shortcoming is within us. We speak of things, but we never follow them practically. That's all. Is this not a good lesson? No new thing. You do all these practices, what for? Not for the sake of practices only, but to know yourself. When you rise above body consciousness, you see you're not the body. You're just coming, trembling here, a little hesitant. We won't cross into the beyond because sometimes we think of the other world. Sometimes we think of this world. We do not stay. You peep and say, that's a good thing. You see this door? Oh, this is very pleasant. Then what do? We leave. So sit at the door with some definite purpose in view, with full confidence in the competency of him to whom you speak and definite purpose of what you want. That is why Christ said, if you ask God, he may give or may not give you, because you are not definite to whom you are talking. If you ask God in my name, he may give you, but if you ask me, you'll surely have it. What is the purpose behind that statement? If you have full faith in him, the Master, he will give you. He has got it. So work for it. That's all. In working for it, 2-3 things are necessary, as I told you. You must be definite, confident. When a lady who had been healed came to Christ, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. She was confident about his competency of him to whom she came. Even those who have not seen the person of the Master, but they are confident of some power working overhead, God, something they will pray. Oh God, I do not know where you are, but manifest to me. And he will manifest to you in the very form in which he is working. This has been my fate. I prayed God always. God, I want to meet you. There are many gurus, many masters. The world is full of them. To whom should I go and to whom should I not go? I'm afraid if I go to somebody who has not reached you, my life's aim will be spoiled. So I'm afraid of going to anybody. Can you give me a direct revelation? I was very confident, very definite about it. Then he appeared inside in the form of my master. I had never heard about him. It was 7 years before I met him physically. I took him as Guru Nanak. I was a poet. I wrote many poems to him in English and in Punjabi too. And so one day, when I came to the Bias River, I found him. I tell you, you must have something definite in your view. Even if you don't know where to go, God controls everything. We are only adrift. I think you'll get more if you sit in meditation in that way. Then you may ask, what is the criterion of a master? This comes up in many cases. There are so many so-called masters. And I went to one saint in the beginning search. I used to tell him, I've got intoxication, and that intoxication lasts for months sometimes. Sometimes it breaks, and for a fortnight or a week or so, and that is very unbearable. What should I do? Well, each man has his own background, you see. The very first thing he uttered, all right, you will have to give your own self to me. And I thought, who is this who is anxious about myself? So I left, not having confidence in him. And I prayed like that. Of course, God knows. He knows the very trend of our mind, you see. So have something definite in view. In this way, you'll be able to make quicker progress. It may be worldly. I don't mind. When a man overflows with that power, the world, everybody knows. There was a wrestler, King Kong by name, who once came here in a contest with another man, Dara. I tell you, man has something within. So I was a judge over there distributing prizes. King Kong was victorious in one contest. And the other time, Dara was victorious. I gave them both prizes. And then they had a photo taken. Dara sat on one side of me, King Kong sat on the other. I was with them both. And when you see that photo, I am stronger than both of them. So do something for God's sake. Something. Do something. Be something. I don't say that you need to be after the world. Do something. Let people of the world know what are you. Have you ever proved to be a friend to somebody? A friend in need is a friend indeed. Are we a friend of only our own personal self? We generally think, what is more useful to us, he as our friend or we as his friend? We are seldom the servant. Be of service to all. The perfection of everything is God. I tell you, we read the words, be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. We never go down deeply into the meaning of what we read. I am quoting from the Bible so that you may be sure that these are no new things. These messages have been given by all the masters in their own languages. But because you know the Bible, I'm quoting it to you. Dig down. Go deep down. From the perfect, you will become perfect. This is what one guru said. How can one who is not perfect himself make you perfect? So try to be something. Decide and work for it with one purpose in view. When I went to enter the world, I had ambitions, and there was one rich man who made offerings of so many buildings, one or two libraries, according to my taste. But I decided God first and world next, so I think I'm committed. I speak books now, you see. All these things you are recording will be put into books. So please do something in view and work for it. Leave off all questions. When you once decide, work for it. If you do a little daily, regularly, like a tortoise, you will reach the goal. We are running like a hare, jumping, then sleeping. The other who is regular will reach the destination before you. That's what we do, run by leaps and starts, sometimes this, sometimes that way. And the distance overhead remains the same. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. The distance still remains before you. You may fall on the way, then rise. Arise, wake, then, and stop not until the goal is reached. And these are not the same teachings? So all saints who came in the past said the same thing in their own languages. The mode of expression was different. The ways of expression are different. But they taught these very same basic things, these very things they taught. So please decide and work for it regularly. With that, with what definite purpose in view, with faith in the competency of him from whom you get the instructions and to whom you pray with perseverance and chastity. I think that boils down the whole thing very simply, does it not? Do you understand very well now? Then what remains? To put it into practice, that's all. So, anything else? I think that will do. Thank you kindly. That was a good question today. And thank you, Master, for these words of wisdom. And thank you all for listening. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. Could you tell us again what you were reading?
Yes, it's from the Light of Kurupal, chapter 63 and chapter 70.
Great. Thank you.
From the book. Okay.
All right. We had 83 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.